And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you've been in church long enough, you've heard this verse quoted. The two men walk together unless they have come into agreement. And if you're like me, over the years, whenever I've heard that passage preached, it was because usually a minister or leader of some sort was trying to convince you that you needed to come into agreement with him about what plans or purposes he has. And I guess it could be applied about people. And though he uses the word two men, he's just using that as an illustration. Because Amos chapter 3 is about God's heart being broken and grieved over Israel's sins and Israel's idolatry. So he's talking about them and that the judgment of love he's about to bring into their life. It's a judgment of love because God doesn't judge and reject his people. He allows things to come into your life that's difficult to stir your heart up, to remind you of who your first love is, to cause you to begin to cry out for him again. And so when he uses the scripture, he's really talking about him and Israel, or him and his people, and that his people are not in agreement with him. And so this is the verse again. To two men walk together unless they have come into agreement. And so what he's saying to them is, do you desire to walk with God? And I think that's a real simple question for all of us. Is it our heart's desire to walk with God? And almost every Christian, unless they're just in abject rebellion and don't care, but they're being forced to come to church, every Christian I know would say, yes, I want to walk with God. And to walk with God is to live in his presence. The scripture says in chapter 14, verse 23 of John, that he says, if you keep my words, he said, you love me. And I will manifest my love to you, and me and Jesus says, we will make our abode with you. You'll live in the realm of our presence. So to walk with God isn't just to walk in union with him, it's to live in the realm of his presence. But here's the issue. Just because you want to walk with God doesn't mean you're actually walking with God. Because he says if two are going to walk together, if you're going to walk with God, you have to be in agreement with him. Now the hard part about the Christian life is that it's not a democracy. And we really don't get a vote. It's an absolute, total theocracy where he has absolute dominion. And your vote and your opinion is totally irrelevant to him. See, it was our opinion and our vote that caused the fall in the first place. Remember what it says in Genesis? When Satan says, when he's asking Eve these questions and he asks her about what she can eat, and she said, we can eat of all the trees of the garden and of the tree of life, but this other tree that's in the middle represents a choice, because love with God, relationship with God always involves choices. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can't eat thereof, because God said, if we ate thereof, we'd surely die. And he said, you're not going to die. God knows that if you eat of that tree, then you'll be full of wisdom, and you'll know what God knows. And you can do good and avoid evil just because you'll have wisdom and you don't need to depend on God. And so he was telling them, your opinion's important. Your choices are important. You can make your own decisions. All you need is wisdom. And that's at the heart of the fall. And so thinking that we have personal rights, therefore we get to complain at God when things don't go the way we want them to, either we believe what Scripture says or we don't, that God orders our steps. Even if somebody around us or a bunch of people around us aren't allowing God to order their steps and they're impacting my life, God's still ordering my steps. His purposes are not thwarted, Job said. You know, Job complained for a long time until he finally realized that God knew what he was doing, even though he didn't know what he was doing and nobody else knew what they were doing or saying. He said, God, your purposes can't be thwarted. And so the issue is this, is that if you want to walk with God, you want to live in the realm of his presence, you have to stay in agreement with him. You have to take what he gives, even if it's what you wanted, and give what he takes. If he messes up your schedule, changes things around without your permission, without your advice, then you have to say yes. Not reluctantly. I have so many people tell me when they're dealing with me as a bishop or an archbishop, well, I'm obedient. I'm going, your attitude is terrible. said, you may be standing up on the outside, but you're sitting down on the inside. You're not in agreement with me at all. Agreement is a hard attitude. And he had to do that by faith. That, Lord, I'd believe and trust you. And so walking with God isn't just a passion. You're not walking with God just because you can sing your lungs out and raise your hands and scream and holler. Walking with God is not first and foremost about reading your Bible or praying hours every day or witnessing to people about Jesus. In the end, at foundational level, walking with God is to be in agreement with him, which means you have an obedient heart and a yielded will. We say yes when he gives us direction without complaint. We say yes. We say thank you when God changes things without my input. When God brings things into my life without my input. We don't get a vote. We don't have any rights. We don't, our opinion, again, is totally and absolutely not only irrelevant, but damaging. What we're called to do is to walk in agreement with God every minute of every day. And everything else, revival, anointings, all that stuff builds on that. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, he's affirming, birding these emerging virtues in this believer, this lovesick believer who signed up to live a lovesick life. And one of the things that he says is one of the emerging virtues, these signs of maturity in this believer is that the Shulamite, it says, your neck has become like the Tower of David. And on that tower hung all these shields of the mighty men. We know the scripture says shield, the shield of faith. So faith is the shield. But the truth is, necks, the neck always speaks of yielded will, being in agreement with God, is that a bowed will before God looks like a tower of strength before the enemy. And it's the shields of faith that hang on that tower so that when you get in battle, you're under assault, you can walk in faith. But you can't walk in faith if you're not in agreement with God, because that's where the shields of faith hang. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Lord, take your word, cause it to grow a hundredfold harvest in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.